you listen regularly to WBOI, you've probably heard stories from Side Effects Public Media. The Health News Initiative, based out of WFYI in Indianapolis, produces stories you've heard in WBOI newscasts, features that cover health issues around the Midwest, and podcasts.
Sick is a podcast about what goes wrong in the places meant to keep us healthy.
Each season, we investigate a new story. This season, how one doctor betrayed his patient's trust and the generations of lives he affected.
This is a highly unusual case.
If he didn't know that what he was doing was wrong, he wouldn't have hit it.
I felt like my mom had been raped.
This has taken everything away from me.
And we take a hard look at the industry that patients have been relying on for decades to get pregnant.
You know, you'd have a new crop of residents come in, and those doctors would come up to you and say, "Hey, Bob, would you be interested in being a sperm donor?"
Mistakes have to kind of be made before we determine, hey, wait a minute, is this ethical or not?
That's this season on Sick, a new podcast from WFYI, Side Effects Public Media, and PRX.
For a closer look at Sick Season 1, I am joined by the hosts of the program. We heard them both there. Jake Harper, Lauren Bavis, welcome to WBOI Presents.
Hey, Ben.
Thanks for having us.
Let's start with just a little bit of background on the two of you. Why do you both report about healthcare? What brought you to it?
Oh, interesting question. So for me, I kind of came from it as when I started my job, I was really interested in this more sciencey aspects of health. And then it's pretty much as soon as I started this job, this is before Side Effects really was created. We moved into public health and health policy reporting. It's really interesting. I think it's, disparities are really fascinating and really important to cover, I think. So that's sort of where my background comes from. It was sort of accidental.
And I fell into health before I came to WFYI and Side Effects. I was a newspaper reporter for several years where I covered health and social services in Bloomington, Indiana. And it really became pretty evident to me that health is something that people in Indiana need to be concerned about. And I think that it's a topic that's rich for exploration of policy, of big ideas, and also for telling stories of just kind of everyday Hoosiers and things that affect them. And that's why, you know, I've kind of kept on this beat and I wanted to move into Side Effects where we can take a really deep dive into healthcare stories. That's what sets us apart from other radio projects, I think.
I know our listeners have gotten to hear your work thanks to Side Effects on our air here at WBOI. We are here to talk about Sick, an investigative podcast about what goes wrong in the places that keep us healthy. Before we talk about season one of the podcast has been dropping this fall, let's unpack that subtitle a little bit. What issues in healthcare perhaps do you expect to hit in future seasons? That gives you a lot of room to play and to look ahead to future topics.
The question we dread the most. We're actually still finishing up the first season, and so we haven't had a ton of time to explore what we might do going forward. I mean, we have this concept more or less nailed down, right? What goes wrong in the places meant to keep us healthy, but that narrows it down some, but we don't have like a specific story that we're planning to tackle. Like I said, because we're still writing episodes 7 and 8 for this season.
Season one follows an investigation you two have done about Dr. Donald Klein, and your podcast does an amazing job of showing how the public became aware of some of what he was doing as a fertility specialist. When was the decision made for the two of you that this is a story that is big enough to dedicate an entire podcast season to, and what led you two into pursuing his story for Sick?
Yeah, so we got a grant from the Public Radio Exchange from PRX to do a health podcast, and we decided that we wanted to do a story in a serial fashion, a story that we could return to week after week and really dive into various health aspects. And the Klein story was luckily right in our backyard here in Indianapolis. Jake did some preliminary reporting on it before I jumped in as a co-host. And I think it really was apparent to us that not only was this a story that had a lot of avenues that we could kind of pull threads and investigate deeper than what had potentially been done before, both locally and on a national scale. But it was a story that was about a much bigger system. It's one doctor who's a part of a bigger industry, an industry that's still really prevalent today, which is fertility medicine. And we know folks are waiting longer to have their families, and so many more people are turning to the fertility industry to have children, to start their families. And we wanted to see, by looking in the past at what happened to Donald Klein and to his patients, what things people need to be concerned about when they're moving into fertility treatment today. Could what Klein did in the 70s and 80s have any impact on folks in 2019 who are going through fertility treatment? And if not, what are the other big things that they need to be concerned about? So this story was really a great one that let us look into the past, look at mistakes that were made in healthcare, and look to the future and see what people need to know to be good healthcare consumers today.
What were some of the challenges of gathering information and answering some of those questions? I mean, you have, I'm kind of combining a few of my questions here, but you have on one hand the fact that the practices in some ways have long been, were at one point considered taboo. Then you still have, this is something that's still being developed and continuing to make strides in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and so on. And then you're also up against Indiana law and how long medical records are kept. What are some of the challenges you faced?
Yeah, I think, I mean, like you said, medical records about this case were destroyed. You know, medical records only have to be kept for 7 years in Indiana. So doctors, especially in that era when they were kept on paper, it was pretty easy to just sort of shred a paper record and get rid of it. We had a few different challenges as this came up. I mean, we were trying to develop a show concept as we were reporting. That was one of the challenges. Not everyone wants to talk about this. There are a fair number of the siblings, you know, a group of biological siblings that Klein has. There's a, you know, a fair number of them that don't want to talk for very understandable reasons. And I think there was a certain element of media fatigue, too. A lot of them who, even the ones who have sort of put their names out there, didn't want to speak with us at first just because, you know, they had things going on in their lives, as everyone does. So, you know, getting the access and sort of being persistent about that was challenging as well. And then, you know, records requests and things like that take time. Yeah, like all the normal elements of reporting seem to sort of come together and make it difficult at certain points. But then, you know, at various times it felt like we were getting some wins too. So, yeah, it came together.
Lauren, anything you want to add?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is we came into the story pretty early on knowing that we wanted to bring something new to it. This was a story that had local attention shined on it. It had national folks who used it to write about this bigger trend, which is that because of direct-to-consumer genetic testing, secrets are coming out, like that some children find out that their parents' fertility doctors ended up being their sperm donors. And so we wanted to come into this and find something new, something that hadn't been uncovered. And now that we're a couple episodes in, we have some really new, exciting information to share with our listeners.
Lauren, I think you might have touched on this a little bit when you two were interviewed by Joshua Johnson on 1A. Can you speak to, as you two have dived into this, you've, I think, shed a light on the isolation that comes with fertility issues, especially for women. Historically, many doctors were male. That did play into one of the stories from your first episode with Liz and Matt White, if I have that correctly. Care to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't speak for all women, but I can speak to my own experience that, you know, you put major trust into any doctor who you see that has to do with your healthcare, and women in particular are in a very vulnerable position when they see an OBGYN or a fertility specialist. Liz White, one of the sources in our first episode, painted this, you know, very vivid picture of being alone in a doctor's office and putting her feet up in stirrups and waiting for this doctor who she, you know, hoped and prayed was going to help her start her family. And doctors are people that we trust. These are folks who have gone through extensive medical training, who were believe have our best interests at heart, and I would say most doctors do. But there's a huge element of vulnerability and a huge element of stigma here. Women back in the 70s and 80s, when Klein first started practicing, really didn't talk to anyone about going through this treatment, sometimes not their families, sometimes not their husbands. And I think the stigma is something that's changed a bit over time. People are a little bit more willing now to talk. And there's been, you know, social media campaigns and things like fertility awareness weeks and months where people are encouraged to share their stories. But it's still really important to consider this is a vulnerable place for a lot of people. And that, I mean, especially is true for folks in vulnerable populations, minority and LGBTQ people who are going through this treatment.
One topic I wanted to hit on during our conversation today, when talking about potentially LGBTQ plus issues as well as issues of healthcare, especially in the state of Indiana, the topic of faith comes up. And in the third episode of the podcast, you talked about how central Dr. Klein's faith was in his life. How has that colored what we know about Klein and are told about him when looking at this story?
I mean, it's very complicated. I mean, we're you know, we're reporters who, you know, as we mentioned in episode 3 specifically, we did not get a chance to talk to Klein. But what we found by talking to other people and by looking at newspapers, old newspaper articles and old records and things like that, was that his faith was and still is, I think, a very big part of his life. Klein attends a church up in Zionsville. Many of those people who go to his church kind of came to his defense later to try to help him. And I think, you know, what we uncovered when we were looking at sort of what was going on in his practice back then was that he did not treat unmarried women and he did not treat lesbians. And, you know, we talked to a few different people about that. I don't know how common that was back then, but it seems to have been a decision that he made that was based on his faith. And we know that, you know, his faith had a pretty heavy influence on how he practiced medicine. He also, as IVF, as in vitro fertilization was coming about, which is where you fertilize an egg and outside of a woman's body before you put it back in her body, Klein refused to, I think, do procedures where you would freeze a embryo. He talked a lot about egg freezing, and he tried to promote that technology. But that sort of again came back to his faith and his sort of anti-abortion beliefs. So yeah, it was. I mean, it's a major factor in this story. It's sort of like an undercurrent to it. But it is, you know, without talking to him, it's sort of hard to pin down in a way as well.
Is there an end in sight for 6 season 1? Because you mentioned you were still working on the podcast, still developing future episodes as we are going through the release this fall. Is there a sight on something, okay, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, when we reach this point, we'll finally be able to tie up all the loose ends and end the podcast? Or is this going to be something that keeps on going as you continue to find elements of the Klein story to tell?
Ah, that's a good question. So I think we're planning on doing 8 episodes. So as I mentioned, we're writing episodes 7 and 8. That is the end of our intended, what we intend to do with this. I guess it's also possible that we'll throw in some bonus episodes if we do get new information coming out or anything like that. But as far as our involvement with this story, it will sort of conclude at the end of episode 8.
Lauren Bavis and Jake Harper, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You can find Sick from WFYI wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening to the October News Roundup on WBOI Presents.